evening, or good morning if you're somewhere where it's morning. Pilots everywhere. And welcome to Hutton Over to Live from Studio 5. Proxima Centauri is shining past the side of Eden. We're 0.22 light years from Alpha Centauri and broadcasting from the heart of Hutton Space, Federation free since 3301. I'm your host, Dick Chafing, and I'm at the controls.
I'm his not-so-glamorous assistant, Rudolf Hucker, and I'm not allowed anywhere near the controls.
And in tonight's breaking news, Hot Colon fails to make the grade.
Hollow Me multi-crew tests begin.
Hollow Rocks hide hermit docks.
Wotherspoon rescued from federal rendition.
Co-carry Justice Party declares war. We are set to announce this evening that the Hot Colon Initiative was failed, and indeed totally failed, to make an inroad into the core this month, with our team falling well short of the necessary tonnage of galactic travel guides to enable Alvin to be granted a new home from home well away from Alpha Centauri. Our hopes of a timeshare apartment in the Colonial Algarve were dashed by a number of incidents of lost commanders, forgotten cargo. Oh, I'm sorry, was that this week?
Sorry, I was busy keeping the EDF away from our systems. I was working on my Hollow Me. I was washing my hair.
And 16,000 light years? You've got to be kidding. In fact, the team, led by Commander Splendor, the fragrant Commander Flossie, and her wily wingman, Wrong Way, one pilot who is convinced that she is a squirrel and aided by pilots from the Order of Mobius, trucked thousands of tons to the depot in Colonia. Under the topping up rules and the first past the post system on the totting up with at least three recounts, some guy called Chad Hanging, returning officer, and an appeal by the SDC for all spent multi-canny ammunition to be counted as entries, whilst for a four-week expedition we did well. We're battling against factions that have had 3 months now to get their act in order. Like all good mother truckers, we're not giving up. We'll keep plugging away at it in the hopes that soon we'll be able to look back at the spiral arm from the core and wonder, which one of those stars is Alpha Centauri? Why is the night sky so bright? Why is this planet beige like all the others? And oh my god, what pretty rings! In the meantime, keep Hutton trucking, and don't forget, it's all for the mug, and a mug for all.
After news reports from the last 2 weeks that faults in the multi-crew Hollow Me system led to dangerous and unexpected results, the system is now ready for testing. Engineers have managed to complete work on the telepresence systems that enable real-time galactic data transfer and ship control without causing the kinds of images that give you nightmares and make you wish you slept with the light on, no space under your bed, and no creaking plumbing passing behind your head. Commanders testing the multi-crew systems have reported that human real-time control of power distributors is managing to successfully increase their power output, activate turreted mining equipment, enable 360-degree ship scanning, make the coffee whilst dodging incoming missiles, do the ironing, take fun-looking selfies, phone your mum, check your galbook messages, and give you the capabilities of a commander with a second pair of hands on the buttons. Which, of course, is illegal under the Human Enhancement and Vivisection Including Genetic Adjustment Sciences, or Heavy Gas, ban of 2253. Trials are not expected to complete until later this spring. We will keep you posted as to progress as time passes.
The Hutton Exploration Wing have reported the discovery of what appears to be a number of hollowed-out asteroids in deep space recently.
Rex Bottoms was the first to send a message back to the studio here, having had an incident in his pool Type 9 where an exciting maneuver led to a strange boing noise instead of the usual thump in an asteroid field. On further inspection, he was fascinated to find that he had indeed crashed not into a giant beige pile of rotating rock, but a cunningly carved out cave complete with docking slot, internal atmosphere, and a rather irate space hermit. After plying the bearded and rather lonely Robinson Crusoe with as much Centauri Mega Gin as he could spare, it was discovered that the hermit had, around 8 years ago, performed just the same maneuver in a Type 9 full of construction materials and mining refineries, and embedded his ship nose first into the side of the asteroid. A docking style we often refer to as the Fool Cecil. Over the following years, failing any rescue attempt, he used the ship's mining lasers to carve out the interior of the asteroid and salvaged his own ship and a little nearby wreckage to create a private haven well away from the humdrum of galactic politics. We're more than a little impressed, not least of which with our Bottoms, who made this discovery and managed not to be murdered on the spot or arrested by the Federation again. He has, for the time being, asked that his location be kept top secret, but as soon as we have permission, we have made a full scrap guarantee to deliver as much gin as we can to this lonely, eccentric, and rather pugnant character and his hermit buddy.
We are delighted to announce that, according to Commander Wotherspoon, he has returned to active broadcasting this week following his arrest last week on propaganda charges. Claims that he was subject to extraordinary rendition and overboarded. That's a bit like waterboarding, but with a plank and a little more water. He says are patently false, as the lovely Federation would never do anything so nasty to a member of the press. He claims to have been hosted by the Earth Defense Fleet, who, according to Commander Wotherspoon, were an absolute delight to be around, and were merely rather concerned that someone had been sending the Galnet News Digest fake news for him to read. Which, of course, they sorted out after a nice cup of tea and some cake. When asked why his clothes all came back smelling a little like they'd been left in a bag for a week sopping wet, why there were electrode marks on his temples, and why he was walking with a rather worrying limp, Commander Wotherspoon said that he had slipped walking past the jacuzzi provided by the EDF, fallen in and bumped his head, whereupon they took him to a lovely hospital and made him feel right at home, but he'd purely absent-mindedly forgotten to pop his clothes in the dryer afterwards. He's also handed us a leaflet all about how lovely the Federation is. All perfectly innocent.
And finally, our Hot Pit team, aided by the ever-present Major General Noctivagus and his two new right-hand helpers, Marco and the Hanky, have been thrown into disarray this evening, as not only did the expansion team arrive in Kokari, but they promptly, and not entirely unexpectedly, picked a fight with the nearest bloke in the bar. This bloke happened to be the senior judge from the Kokari Justice Party, a faction dedicated to law, order, and feared throughout the area as a brutal totalitarian regime. Not entirely unlike the monks of Van Manen Star, but with a little less incense and hymns, and a little bit more tear gas and parade ground shouting. Rumors that our team called their faction leader Judge Judy and did a number of Judge Dredd impressions with a waste paper basket on their heads are entirely false. They may have... They may have giggled at his wig, though. As a result, we have been plunged into another pending war. Alvin has been forced to recall ships from the takeover efforts in Wolf 124, a system dear to his heart, as well as the Colonial expansion, and commanders are currently building a war fleet somewhere near Faraday Enterprise. Stay tuned later for the latest from the Hot Pit team about the implications of this war, and of course our mission instructions for the next week.
That was the news.
We're in Studio 5, still. After this, there's lots more.
I'm not in control. He is. And for Rex and his rocks, we have some rocks to get off. Stay tuned.
Indeed.
Hutton Orbital Radio. Entertaining you until arrival or death.